And we are live. Yes, that's right. I did just steal Anthony's line. Anthony is not here, but I am Harrison Fagan. I am here with Gary Kester and Jacob Rude, and we are here. We wanted to discuss the Lakers' first preseason game. How's it going, guys?
Oh, not too bad. It's always good to have Lakers basketball back.
Yeah.
It is, exactly. It is great to have actual game to talk about instead of watching poorly filmed scrimmage videos.
Hey, I mean, they weren't that formal. Like, I was impressed because I noticed that Serena Winters was, obviously she wasn't using a tripod because the camera, like, there were points where it was shaky, but, like, she did a pretty good job of keeping steady, like, steady hands on that footage. It got better as the week went on.
I'll say relatively speaking.
In one mass media video class right now, so. I know everything there is to know about video broadcasting.
Yeah, I'll say relatively speaking. For a phone video, it was pretty well done, but it's
makes you miss, like, the elevated view, you know, when you're, like, courtside, like, you get a closer look, but you don't really see, like, everything.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's stuff, like, traffic and stuff, but I guess on that note, since we had elevated views and different camera angles today, let's talk about the actual game and not the practices where players are getting hurt and, you know, dying, just collapsing on the floor. So what were you guys' main takeaways from the game? We all know it's first preseason game, so you kind of take everything with a grain of salt. But Harrison, what were your main takeaways?
Well, obviously, like the team, you would think that by how short they were coming on a lot of their jumpers that, you know, those Byron suicides are beginning to have an effect on their legs. But hey, I mean, they're going to be in great condition by the time the season rolls around. Like, they're going to be in just the best shape of their lives and definitely not dead. The shooting was obviously not great, but honestly, it was the Lakers moved the ball in that first quarter, like, better than I think I remember them doing all of last year, which is amazing considering it's the first quarter of the preseason. And it really shows you what having, like, actual NBA players on, like, multiple NBA players on the floor can do for you.
Right, right. To me, I've always envisioned Byron's practices just being like Coach Carter, where their players are just doing thousands of suicides and push-ups until they're just dead, like, after practice. They can't even walk. Some things that jumped out at you.
Well, I would say the big one Harrison mentioned is we obviously shot terribly, 26 of 90. But obviously, a lot of that's attributed to it being the first game and Byron pretty much killing their legs in practice. I just a little more specifically, I guess seeing the offense that it was pretty much centered around Russell and Clarkson. I made the comment about 4 minutes in, it was 3 or 4 minutes into the game. Kobe hadn't even attempted a shot, and he'd hardly touched the ball. And the one time I believe he did, he kicked it out to Clarkson for a corner three. So, I mean, I know everybody's kind of talked about that, what Kobe's role is going to be in this offense. And he had said recently that he was fine not creating shots. So I guess it was nice to see, at least in the preseason. Obviously, the regular season will be different, but to see him willing to take a bit of a backseat role to Russell and Clarkson.
Right, right. And, I mean, the way the game started, it was perfect. You had the Russell and Randall pick and roll and cutting basically on the baseline for a wide-open dunk. And then, you know, after that, it was pretty ugly most of the way. Like you said, just terrible shooting. But, there were some flashes here and there. I thought Byron's rotations were really, really weird. It seemed like, I mean, the young guys didn't play a whole lot. You know, Jacob, what did you think about Byron's rotations and, like, maybe some of the sets that they were running today and, you know, things like that?
I mean, we were joking, Harris and I were,
what rotation?
There weren't really guys
for 12 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it was just hockey subs.
It was line changes. It was John Calipari platoon system.
Yeah, with less talent, but...
I mean, he got the starting lineup right, so that's a positive. It's the little things with Byron. But I mean, I would like to have seen, you know, maybe somebody like Anthony Brown play a little bit more. I was a little kind of annoyed. It seemed like he put Ryan Kelly again at small forward, but I think that's pretty much a lost cause at this point for him to play him at power forward. But I mean, Harrison said, I mean, the ball seemed to move a little bit better than it had in last year, and it seemed like the offense was a little more lively, especially when Russell and Clarkson were out there. You kind of see their energy creating more of a little bit more of an up-tempo offense as much as you can in Byron's system. But, I mean, it is frustrating that he's not really mixing up the lineups at all. He pretty much had kind of sets of players that he was subbing in at a time. I mean, Randall, Hibbert, Clarkson, and Russell all played exactly 21 minutes and 29 seconds. So, I mean, they all played. And then Anthony Brown and a couple other guys played exactly 12 minutes, so basically the fourth quarter. So, I mean, things like that. You don't really know what lineups work best if you're not willing to experiment. But then again, it's the first preseason game, so I'm not going to complain too much, but I guess it's something to kind of keep an eye on going forward.
Right. So the next Lakers preseason game is on Tuesday. They'll be playing the Jazz again, and it's a really late start time. I think it's 9 Pacific time. Yeah, which is 10 my time, which is fine by me because I'm a night owl anyways. But, Harrison, what kind of adjustments do you think the Lakers need to make just in their approach and executing their game plan for that game?
Well, I would recommend they take a nap before the game because you don't want to have, like, guys – I mean, the main players aren't going to be playing in the fourth quarter, and it'll be, like, really embarrassing if, like, you know, Kobe's getting up there, like, and if he was, like, falling asleep on the bench, you know. Or, you know, like, we find out, like, they cut over to the coach's thing, and James Worthy is asleep on Byron's shoulder. Like, you know, that would be unideal. So I would definitely recommend a nap. As far as adjustments, I would say, I would like to see, as Jacob said, like, them stagger the lineups a little bit more. Like, Byron stagger the lineups a little bit more. I want to see some different combinations of guys. Maybe a little bit less Nick Young, honestly. Like, I would be in favor of playing Anthony Brown a little bit more. I think he showed some nice things in the fourth quarter tonight. I mean, I was partially writing my recap by that point, but it looked like he hit at least 1 3. I thought he acquitted himself well out there when I was watching. Ryan Kelly should fire whoever did his hair. that's another question I would make. I'm sure. I mean, it's preseason. Like, basically, as long as the starters don't change, and you know, they don't make like a massive downturn in terms of their style of play. Like, you know, they actually shot like a pretty good amount of threes tonight. So if they come back like on Tuesday and like they're shooting less threes, like, I'd be a little bit disappointed. You know, if D'Angelo gets benched because he didn't shoot that well tonight, I'd obviously, like, be disappointed. But basically, like, keep the starters, stagger the lineups a little bit more, just let the guys really start to feel each other out a little bit better, and I think that that's, like, a solid, you know, game plan for the second game.
Yeah. An adjustment that I'm going to make is I'm going to have to move further away from Salt Lake City because – being that the Jazz are considered a local team for me, Time Warner Cable is blacked out, so I have to listen to the Jazz announcers, and all they did about the Jazz not getting fouls, even though they shot, like, almost three times as many free throws as the Lakers. So good job, Utah Jazz crew. And their scoreboard didn't work like the whole game, so that was great too.
Matt Harper body checked it before the game for being soft.
But being that it is preseason, there's still going to be hot takes coming from all angles. I was getting a couple on the Lakers Outsiders Twitter feed, and some I rolled my eyes at, some I literally just laughed at. But we're going to play a little game now where we're going to just come up with the best hot take to take away from this game right now. So we're going to get our Skip Bayless on right now, and let's see what you guys got. Well, Jacob, we'll start with you. Unless you're not ready, we can start with Harrison.
I'm not ready. Harrison was bragging about his before the show, so I need to hear his first.
All right. Okay. We'll swing it over to Harrison.
I actually have two hot takes, if that's okay.
Oh, bringing the fire.
Yeah.
He can be Skip and Stephen A.
You're going to be the entire first take crew.
Okay, so I'll just stick with one, because I have one that's actually much better. So after the game, we saw, I'm going to project this up on the screen right now, but I will still read it off for our many, many iTunes listeners. And so apparently Mark Medina is editorializing a little bit, and he said that Kobe was, a very sarcastic Kobe on his own expectations this year, the average. And you know what? I'm not willing to just believe that he was saying that Kobe was saying that sarcastically. Maybe he's given up. I feel like the Lakers need to cut Kobe Bryant, because his expectation of only being average is going to have nothing but a poor effect on these, like, young players. Like, what? We want D'Angelo Russell just being satisfied with being average? We're okay with that? Like, he was below... I mean, his shooting was below average tonight. I think, honestly, like, it's... The Lakers need to cut Kobe. He's become a locker room cancer, obviously. Oh. Like, the Lakers were pelting him with balls or in warm-ups tonight.
I can't even...
We might as well just end the podcast. Like, I don't think we're going to top that.
I told you I should go last. I told you it was good.
I don't even remotely have a hot take close to that level. Wow.
I can go again.
That is... Go for it, because I'm... give it to us again, Stephen A.
All right, this one's not quite as good, but you know, I guess Kobe was doing his media availability after the game, so a couple reporters were tweeting out quotes from him, and so Kobe described D'Angelo's passing as his vision is astronomical, and so I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't think that this was a compliment. I think that Kobe is referencing astronomy and kind of subtly pushing the Lakers to, like, set up a mission to shoot D'Angelo into outer space because he is so upset with this rookie.
You're right. You should have stopped with the first one.
We're approaching Anthony levels right now.
You know what? There was,
I do what
there
I can.
Was no pun, so we're still doing well.
Yeah, we haven't had a single pun on this podcast. May Anthony rest in peace.
Anthony's rolling over in his grave right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I told you the first one was better, but...
The only hot take that I could think of was Lou Williams was easily the best Laker on the floor today, so he should clearly start over D'Angelo Russell for all 82 games this season.
He did have a really great no-look pass. I don't know. I mean, I feel like that's a fair point.
I mean, yeah, honestly, he just might be a better passer than D'Angelo Russell already. I mean, it's over. We might as well just trade him, you know? Trade him for, what the Sixers do. Just trade him for, like, a second-round pick.
Hey, I saw somebody today proposing that the Lakers would the Knicks accept a package of Hibbert, Russell, and Randall for Melo.
Oh, my God.
Like, Phil Jackson would not let Mitch Kupchak off the phone if he offered that. Like, he wouldn't even be like, they'd be like, all right, let's go talk to the owner. He'll be like, no. What? You know what? I don't see why we don't just get, let's just loop Adam Silver in right now. Just get this on paper.
Let's just get this thing done.
Yeah.
Oh, could you imagine? Like, there might actually be fans that just jumped off the bandwagon if that would ever happen. Like, something like that.
And then there would be a bunch of awful fans that would jump on the bandwagon because the Lakers finally have the superstar they need. Traded a bunch of unproven draft prospects.
Finally got that proven superstar to lure in to Kevin Durant in 2 years.
Yeah.
With somebody who plays the same position as him.
All right, so all the hot takes aside, it's great to have Laker basketball back, even as ugly as that game was, in all honesty. And I think we all survived a minor heart attack when Randall suffered that fall. Ooh. After Russell's beautiful pass. Man, my heart skipped like 4 beats on that play.
There is not much that can happen during a preseason game that can make me actually yell at my TV. And that was one of the things. I was like, I just like immediately, like that car crash moment, like you think, oh God, this is happening again. It's like in slow motion. And then he just popped right back up and it's like, okay, cool. But yeah, that was unideal.
There's a couple of plays. It was like that play, and then he drove to the basket and literally just like obliterated. I think it was Trevor Booker. And then he knocked down Gobert and then like jumped, and Gobert was like right under his feet. And I just like held my breath. And yeah, we made it through one game and we didn't lose anybody for the season. So
if we were playing that old game that we used to play last year, like that use a song to describe this game, I'd definitely go with Wrecking Ball by Miley Cyrus, because that's what Julius Randle played.
Oh my. It's funny you say that, because I, for that play, I literally wanted to just like tweet out the lyrics of that song.
It's amazing how like he's so quick and he just he's still so strong. Like guys just bounce off of him.
Yeah, and no, I mean the reason I didn't tweet that out, by the way, I didn't want us to lose 800 followers on a single tweet.
Well, we just lost 800 viewers when I even said that. So.
It's all right. They were already here, so the clicks still count. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the entire year, though, anytime Randall drives to the hoop, I'm going to hold my breath a little bit. So I don't think that, at least for a good chunk of the beginning of the season, I don't think that's going away. I was pretty terrified when he hit the ground. But, I mean, the positive to that was Russell's pass was unbelievable, and he had a couple of those moments tonight. That Russell to Randall pick and roll to start, that was beautiful, and I hope we see that for the next 15 years.
Yeah. I was impressed with Randall's defense, in all honesty. Like he's never going to be like a rim protector or anything like that, but his mobility serves him really well. Like he actually contested shots pretty well. He stays, he can stay in front of guys, and yeah, so he looks, I mean, it's only one game, a little improved on that end, and hopefully that just continues to happen. So I will find out more on Tuesday.
Yeah, I was just going to say real quick, I agree with that point. I think he complements Hibbert really well, and thought those two played together in the interior pretty well. It's a vast improvement of watching Jordan Hill and Carlos Boozer from last year, so I mean, I'll take it in a heartbeat.
Yeah,
although I did kind of miss Holdats this season already.
So we didn't have a single and one yell.
I know. I was wondering why my living room seemed so quiet. I was like used to. I was just used to like just incoherent screaming the whole game. Like we're gonna have.
It's funny because I gotta
get Boozer on the show to just yell at us a couple times or something.
Oh, I know. Just like he just pops in and out randomly. Like he's not even on the show. He just pops in and just, you know, just screams at us and then just leaves. That would be.
Let's all pour one out for
like,
Carlos Boozer.
Popped on in the middle of the show, just hold it, and then
and then just immediately left.
Yeah, just hung up.
Oh.
So the lesson that we learned. So I guess to sum things up, the lessons that we learned from the Lakers preseason are that. Kobe needs to be cut. We miss Carlos Boozer, and
probably
maybe not going to be a bust or something. I think Gary said.
And Team Tank is apparently back.
Yeah, Team Tank is back. We lost the first preseason game. It's time to start tanking.
It's
what's
over.
What's the European player's name? Dragan. Let's go after him.
Yeah, it's time to get Dragonbender.
Dragonbender. Let's go get him. Let's go get him.
No, Dragon I'm not even. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's his name. I think that's how you pronounce it.
It is. It really is.
Yeah.
Let's go get All Dragon right. and D'Angelo and be set forever.
Well, I think we covered everything. We talked about the game, a dude named Dragonbender, Carlos Boozer popping in and yelling at us. Yeah, I mean, I think we got everything. Did you guys have anything to add?
I think it's all pretty well covered.
I think I got my best stuff out of the way about 10 minutes ago.
All right.
It was all downhill after that hot take.
Yeah, I think it was. It's true.
Which is per usual for this podcast. It's like once it starts, it's just all downhill after that. So, all right. Well, that'll do it for us. Like we mentioned, the next Laker preseason game is Tuesday at 9 Pacific time against the Jazz again. So, you know, stay tuned for that. We'll see. We'll try and have a practice report for you guys tomorrow. And, yeah, that'll do it for us. Thanks for watching. And
one more thing as we sign off. For those of you watching this, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. It's the search Lakers Outsiders, and you will be able to find our podcast there, and you can listen to them in your car or like while you work out or wherever you want. We don't judge.
Well, the exit was going pretty smooth, but now it's just...
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, on that note, we will sign off. I am Harrison Fagan. That was Gary Kester. And Jacob Rude joined us tonight. He was not a rude boy. Thank you for coming on. Wow. And we will talk to you guys later. Okay.